All right, great to have you back with us. Enjoyed the predictions from Matt and Sandra G, and of course Walter as well. So they're going to join us during the year. Always a good perspective. Joining us now is Joe Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N, and the Joe Sheehan newsletter. I think the best out there. You get a baseball newsletter about the intricacies of the game, and I love it. And Joe is a regular, and we're glad to have him on today. Joe, how are you?
Marty, we didn't know if we'd get an opening day, so I'm pretty good.
Yeah, very good. Tell us about the newsletter and how people can subscribe to it. I always like to get that out first.
You can check out joesheehan.com. Actually, if you go there this week, you actually get a lot of free content, essays I've written for the season preview about the Tigers, the Cardinals, the Pirates, an opening day essay that I did. You get a sense of what I do. It's definitely informed on the stat head by trade. I was one of the guys who helped start Baseball Prospectus, but I'm a writer also. I really think it's accessible information. People should check it out at joesheehan.com. I've been doing the newsletter now for, this is my 13th season, covering the game through the newsletter, so I'm pretty excited.
I think it's terrific, and I always like to do this, and I'm gonna throw it out to my audience again. The first five people who email me at marty@knbr.com, I'll pay for your newsletter. I always like to do that for you, Joe, to get you started on the season. And so marty@knbr.com, the first five, and give a reason why, and I'll take care of that, Joe, and we'll get those names to you. So I'm glad to do it.
Appreciate that, Marty.
Oh, absolutely. All right. Baseball's underway, and boy, what a first couple of days. The whole Met business with Washington, and you've got the Padres with two near no-hitters against Arizona. Well, give me your take a little bit just on the beginning of this baseball season.
Yeah, very exciting. I mean, a lot of walk-off wins. We saw the two great pitching performances in San Diego. A lot of runs scored, certainly on the second day of the season yesterday. I do think that we're going to see a little bumpiness early on. Remember, a lot of these teams are, you know, a lot of the hitters didn't get a ton of reps in spring training. A lot of the pitchers didn't get to build up. There's a rule in place right now where teams have 28-man rosters. So you've got teams of 10 or 11 relievers going into the season. So maybe a little bit of a jostly start to the season. But you know, when we get into it, you know, if people get to late April, we'll have roster cutdowns then. I think May will look a little bit more normal.
What do you take on the Padres and the beginning of that rotation with Darvish and Minaya? Musgrove goes today, Snell tomorrow, then Martinez, and the Giants get them next week. They'll get Darvish and Minaya, and the Giants have Wood and Cobb and Webb lined up next week. How about that for a beginning?
Well, I think the rotations are the key here, Marty. You look at last year, and the Padres, who started the year looking like they'd have a really strong rotation, through injuries, just it fell apart. They were running Jake Arrieta and Vince Velasquez out there, and that's how they fell apart at the end of the season. Whereas, you know, guys like me, you know, I was wrong about the Giants all last year. I wear that. Kept waiting for that rotation to kind of fall apart a little bit, and it never did. That was a big difference between these two teams last year. So you mentioned these starters coming in this year. You know, the Giants have bolstered their rotation with Rodon and Alex Cobb, who I love. The Padres are really just counting on everybody getting healthy and available again. In fact, they traded away a starter this week to try to bolster their bullpen. So those matchups in the season's early going, I think, are going to be really interesting to see which of these teams will have the stronger rotation. And I think that's going to be a big differentiator between the two squads.
Well, we've got Rodgers all over baseball. We've got Tyler Rodgers, Taylor Rodgers, his twin brother, is now the closer for the Padres. And tomorrow we get Trevor Rodgers. I am not looking forward to this.
Yeah, is there a lawsuit we can file about this? Because it's extremely confusing. I've got a 1-in-3 shot of getting them right. I know who they are, the right-handed reliever, the left-handed starter, the lefty closer. But I can't keep the name straight. So I'm going to get this wrong probably, you know, for the next 6 months.
Yeah, no, I know tomorrow is going to be trouble for me when I try to do this with Trevor Rodgers. Joe Sheehan is with us. The newsletter is terrific. Joe, let's talk Giants. And I know everyone this year, including me, I said 87, 88 wins. And then I watched the game yesterday. Alcantara, they've got him at 20 pitches or plus in the first inning, and Ruff gets picked off, and he gets out of it. This is what they do. These first four or five guys work that count. They get that pitch count up there. And I said to myself, boy, maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe this team is just what you said. Maybe we just keep underrating them and they figure out a way to win.
Yeah, the Giants are giantsing is how I put it yesterday. You know, getting those first two runs basically on the throwing error and then, you know, getting the big comeback home run by Estrada in the ninth. It's just, and again, it's Slater in the 10th. It's Estrada in the ninth. It's all these guys who really have no real profile, but they can hit. And Marty, I don't know if you saw, there was a great piece of Baseball Prospectus this week, kind of breaking down how the Giants have been able to take this collection of players who don't really have high profiles, might not be well thought of, and gotten the most out of them by platooning them based on swing planes and what the pitchers do. Really fascinating stuff. People should check that out at Baseball Prospectus. But I think the question coming into this year was last year a fluke? So with all these guys who kind of came out of nowhere and performed really well and gave the Giants one of the best offenses in baseball, or would they be repeating it? It's also, too, losing Posey, you know, question marks out of what you're going to get out of Belt, Longoria, and Crawford just because of their age. So, you know, real concerns there. But it started yesterday. We saw yesterday's game wouldn't have looked completely in place in August of 2021. It was just a typical crazy Giants win. Yeah. So, you know, if the team hits, you know, they're going to be good. Because I love the pickup of Cobb. I think Rodon, as long as he's on the mound, is going to be fine. A little bit of concern about the bullpen, but we talked about that all last year as well.
I know, and we still do it. We did it through all of spring training, and you're right. This game that I saw yesterday was one of 107 of last year, so it bears watching. It's early. It's a marathon, and this is only April, and 34, 35-year-old players really have a struggle keeping it going for 6 months. So that's the red flag for me. So we'll see what happens. What about the Dodgers? How do you feel about the Dodgers and where they are? Of course, getting Freddie Freeman. Yesterday is Bueller. Kimbrel had trouble in the ninth inning yesterday. Maybe you could explain what's going on with him. And it's Gonsolin today, no Urias. So what about the Dodgers?
Yeah, I didn't love the Kimbrel pickup. If you look at Kimbrel's last 4 years, he's really been effective for just half of one. The first half of last year, he was effective with the Cubs. Outside of that, he's had all of these command issues. Still throws hard, still misses bats, but just walks too many guys. And I'm not completely convinced that he's a better high-leverage reliever than Blake Treinen or even, you know, some of the lefties they have, the Alex Bezzia and guys like that. I don't know that they help themselves with this trade. A.J. Pollock is a valuable, you know, third/fourth outfielder, certainly a depth piece for the Dodgers. By signing Taylor, they don't really need him around. Kimbrel's not a guy I think I want pitching high leverage innings for me. Obviously, the rest of the Dodger roster is fine. They chipped away at their depth. They've promoted some guys over the last couple of years. They've traded some prospects, Josiah Gray, Kelbert Ruiz to get Scherzer last year. They're a little more thin than they used to be. But you talk about frontline talent, and no team in baseball has the frontline talent that the Dodgers have. Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, are you kidding me? I mean, just watching Dodger first innings is going to be a fun thing to do all year. So, you know, all respect to what the Giants did last year, I still think there's probably a 10-game gap between the Dodgers and the Giants coming into the season. I have the Dodgers as the best team in baseball, best team in the National League by far. And I do think that frontline talent and even the diminished depth is going to be their edge over the course of the season. They're the only team in the NL I can see getting to 100 wins.
Well, you know, what about Kershaw? What about Andrew Haney? What about Tyler Anderson? What about Gonsolin? People like that. And Bueller and Urias, who worked to death last year. Why not worry about those guys?
I think I could be a little bit concerned. I think if you look at the Dodgers' depth, they're not relying on those guys to be number three starters. Andrew Haney is somebody you want to get 28 starts, 5 innings a start. Yeah, he's going to get – he's got that fly ball problem. He's got that home run problem. He had it in Anaheim. He got blasted in his brief time with the Yankees last year. But you look at the underlying numbers, the stuff's really good. He's one of these guys that the stat heads were really on early in the offseason, seeing him as a guy who could step forward and have a better year this year. Same thing with Anderson, same thing with Gonsolin. The Dodgers don't need these guys to be great. They just need them to be 4- and 5-inning starters, turn the game over to what is a pretty deep bullpen, my concerns about Kimbrel notwithstanding. And the Dodgers also don't need to hold teams to two and three runs a game. The Dodgers are going to score enough runs that they just need their back-end starters to be, like I say, 4-inning guys, 2 runs, turn it over to the bullpen. They have a lot of depth at the upper levels in guys like this. They also have some prospects. Marty, they're going to be calling up a kid named Bobby Miller later in the year. one of the best pitching prospects in the game. Mm-hmm. They have another one named Ryan Tapio. They have, even having traded Gray, they still have a lot of depth. They might get Dustin May back at some point, probably in the second half, maybe out of the bullpen. So, again, when you're looking ahead to the season, I'm looking at not just, okay, these are the 11, 12, 13, 14 man teams carry too many pitchers, pitchers that start the season. You're kind of looking at, you know, who are the top 20 guys in the organization? And right now the Dodgers and the Rays build a 20-man staff better than any other team.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm not afraid of them, but you make good points. Andrew Haney, if he throws 100 innings, he'll give up 70 home runs. That's my prediction for this year. We'll see
Marty,
what happens.
I'm not sure I would do that.
We'll see what happens. Joe, we've already gotten over 20 requests for the newsletter. I'm going to pick out five and take care of that, and I'll forward those names to you. Joe Sheehan, S-H-E-E-H-A-N, joesheehan.com. His newsletter is terrific, and I like doing this every time you're on because I know the fans love to hear you. I like the Mets. You know, I hate to say it. You know, I like Buck Showalter. I like what he brings to the game. I like Marte a lot. Lindor's got to be better. Scherzer, DeGrom eventually will be there. Taijuan Walker's knee is hurting him a little bit. But I like the Mets, and I know they're beating up on Washington, who's awful. Washington may be the worst team in the league, but I like the Mets.
Yeah, you said somewhere that, you know, DeGrom will be back, and I'm just not betting on that. You know, DeGrom missed the second half of last season with elbow concerns. Now it's the shoulder. In predicting the Mets for this year, I zeroed out DeGrom. If he comes back and pitches, gives them 15, 20 starts, I'll wear it. I'll be wrong. But I'm not counting on Jacob DeGrom to pitch for the Mets. Certainly not in any sort of volume. You mentioned Scherzer. Again, 38, had some injury issues, some issues at the end of last year. Anytime a pitcher is that old, you start to worry about whether he's going to be able to give you a full season. Taijuan Walker, of course, had the knee debridement and ended up having to leave a start the other day, so he's hurt to start the season. I just don't think there's any reason to be optimistic about the Mets keeping their players healthy, given what we've seen from them over the last 5 or 6 years. I think they're a better team. I love the offensive depth. They, you know, they signed Canna and Eduardo Escobar. I mean, they've gone out and really built a deep offensive team, but I don't trust the pitching at all.
So who wins the East for you?
I have the Marlins. And the Braves winning the East. You know, it's four teams that I think will all be between 84 and 89 wins. I'm not that excited about any of them, except maybe the Marlins. You know, you've got to see the Marlins up close yesterday. You'll see them today and tomorrow as well. I mean, this is a fun team with all that great young pitching. Sandy Alcantara took a real step forward last year, and I think he'll actually have him as the NL Cy Young Award winner this year. I had the Marlins making the wild card out of the East. They improved that offense just enough to support what should be one of the best pitching staffs in the league.
Well, we'll see. They missed the closer, Floro, yesterday. It cost them the game probably at the end. Alcantara, great arm. He got squeezed by the umpire a lot yesterday.
Yeah.
But he's one of those guys that pitches just well enough to lose. And that's my feeling with him. We got Pablo Lopez today and Trevor Rogers tomorrow, if we keep that straight. So that's what we got coming up. But what do you think about those two for the weekend?
Yeah, Lopez is somebody who has had some issues with left-handers. He improved that over the last couple of years. I think he's more of a three than a number one, but he's a high number three, somebody who can give you 180 innings and keep his ERA in the low threes. I love Rogers. Rogers was actually my pick for National League Rookie of the Year last year ahead of Jonathan India because he actually took a month off, not because he was hurt. His parents were ill with COVID, so he missed some time last year. So I love that top three. Even behind that, though, you talk about Eliusse Hernandez, who's going to be the back-end starter. They've lost Sixto Sanchez, remember. He was supposed to be the big stud for them. He's got shoulder injury issues that are going to keep him off the mound. They've got a number one pick from a couple of years ago named Max Meyer, who could be up a lot later in the year, Edward Cabrera. Their top seven starters are better than any other team can run out there. So I'm really excited about that pitching staff this year. You mentioned the bullpen. I like Anthony Bender. Obviously, didn't work yesterday. I think that's going to be the weak spot, similar to the Giants in that I love the pitching depth. I love the starter depth, but I don't really love the relief depth. And I think if it goes bad for the Marlins, it's going to be because the bullpen loses a lot of games like it did yesterday.
All right, we'll see. Well, it's interesting to get your perspective on it. They got some big hitters, some sluggers, and they need to put the ball in play more for me, and that's what I saw yesterday. But we'll see. You're a Midwest guy. The Cardinals, of course, they've got the bodybuilder in left field, and they've got the man who plays with his, as Bruce Jenkins says, with his hair on fire at center. Edmonds could lead the league in hits at second. Wainwright, you know, the Red Michaelis today, Michaelis today. What do you think about the Cardinals v. The Brewers?
First of all, I don't know how you ever got the idea I was a Midwest guy. I'm from New York.
Are you? Okay, I'm sorry.
I thought I'm from Manhattan. I just thought it was – nobody's ever mistaken me for a Midwest guy.
All right. I heard St. Louis in your voice. I don't know why. All right, go ahead.
No, I have the Cardinals really very close to the Brewers. I don't think either team gets the 90 wins. The Cardinals last year, remember, they were a 500 team for 140 games. Then they had that crazy winning streak that got them into the playoffs.
Right.
Real concerns about the pitching. You know, Jack Flaherty is the only guy they have who could really step up and be like a true number two, even a number one. He starts the year with a shoulder problem. He missed a lot of time last year as well. You know, Wainwright was a great story last year. I just don't know that, you know, he's certainly not the type of pitcher you would position as a true number one, right? Not really a strikeout guy. He did give them a ton of innings last year, which is incredibly valuable. And if he shows up and, you know, pitches to what you would expect from him, you know, 30 starts, takes the ball every fifth day, pitches into the sixth, a good mid-rotation starter. But Flaherty's the guy they really need to pitch well. The one thing about the Cardinals, they have the best defense in baseball. They had, I believe it was 5 Gold Glove winners last year, and none of them were, you know, old-style Gold Gloves where the guy gets it on reputation. The old Gold Gloves were to Edmund. Help me out here. Arenado, Goldschmidt.
Arenado and Goldschmidt.
Tyler O'Neill and Harrison.
Molina? No.
Molina, he get it last year. I mean, it's a ridiculous defensive team. And that works because they don't strike – the rotation at least doesn't strike out a ton of guys. So if you're going to have a low strikeout rotation, you've got to make out some balls in play. It is very hard to score on the Cardinals for that reason. The one thing that hurt them last year, Marty, was the bullpen. Their bullpen had one of the highest walk rates since, I want to say, the 1950s. So with a team like that, where it's going to, you know, turn balls and play into outs, walks are incredibly damaging. All you have to do is throw strikes and let your defense get the job done behind you. So if the bullpen throws more strikes this year, they can beat out the Brewers in the Central.
That's what the Giants do. Giants throw strikes. Yeah. They don't walk. Their bullpen is the leading bullpen in home runs given up, fly ball percentage, and all the stats that you guys love to write about. Giant bullpen is just what you just described. Boy, great to have you on. Always a pleasure. And as I say, email me, marty@knbr.com, and we'll pick at least 5 people to get the Joe Sheehan newsletter. And you get this kind of analysis and statistical analysis all year long, and it's really a pleasure. Joe, thanks for being on today, and look forward to catching up with you, and look forward to talking with you when the Giants win their 100th game.
I'd probably in what, July? Thanks,
Maybe
Marty. Take care.
All right, be well. All right, that is Joe Sheehan. I had fun with him. All right, more coming up. Bill, Kerry, and I will kick it around a little bit right after these messages.